many professionals were never taught how to fully assess tongue tie, and families are often left trying to reach their breastfeeding goals without the support they actually need. If feeding feels harder than it should, I don't want you to be alone. I wrote Tongue Tie for Parents to help you understand what's happening and how to move forward with a clear, thoughtful approach. It's the same guidance I would give you if you were sitting with me in my office. It takes a holistic, functional view, guiding you through what to look for, how to think about next steps, and what actually helps. Available now on Amazon. Link is in the show notes. Welcome to the season marking 4 years of the Tongue Tie Experts podcast. I'm incredibly grateful for what this space has become. What started as a simple idea to create thoughtful, evidence-based, and multidisciplinary conversations about tongue tie, infant feeding, and airway-centered care has grown into a global community of professionals who are committed to doing better for babies and families. Over the years, I've had the honor of sitting down with parents, lactation consultants, dentists, birth and medical professionals, therapists, researchers, and educators from around the world. Together, we've explored the science, the controversy, the clinical nuance, and the very real human stories that live at the heart of this work. My hope has always been that this podcast supports you in thinking critically, collaborating confidently, caring more deeply, and helping more people. If you're new here, welcome. I'm so grateful that you found us. To those of you who have been listening, sharing episodes, and sending messages over the years, thank you. Your support is the reason this podcast continues to grow. To our guests and sponsors, special thanks to you for your incredible contribution to this mission. Let's see how long we can keep this going. Please click, follow, leave a rating or review, and share with a colleague. It truly helps this podcast reach more who need to hear these insights. Now, let's get into today's episode. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Tongue Tie Experts podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Palladino, and today I am so excited to welcome Sarah Hornsby. Sarah is a true pioneer in myofunctional therapy and someone who has had a huge impact on this space. She's an international speaker, educator, and the founder of MyoMentor, the first fully online myofunctional therapy training program, which has now supported and trained over 2,000 providers around the world. Sarah brings such authenticity and passion to everything she does, shaped in part by her own personal journey with oral facial myofunctional issues. She's built an incredible global interdisciplinary community of professionals who are committed to airway-focused root cause care. And I can't wait for you to hear her story and perspective today. Welcome, Sarah. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I always kind of have to laugh. Like when I hear my bio, I'm like, wow, I sound so amazing. But like we were talking about before we went live, it has to do with having a great team. So really, it wasn't me that wrote that, but I listened to it. I'm like, gosh, that's so pretty cool. So yeah, thank you.
and it's more incredible than that because I shortened it, you know, because I didn't want to go on forever and ever. I'd rather hear your story in your own words.
Yes.
But, you know, whether or not, and I know that feeling, you know, and when I start saying, oh, what do you do? When I start listing all the things I do, even currently, I'm like, I'm exhausted.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I'm really excited to be here. I'm always happy to share information with not only patients, but with other professionals and parents and people who I think don't know about this information, that it's really important for everyone, no matter where you come from, what your background is, you know, professional or patient, I think it's really valuable information. So, and
absolutely.
I mean, you get it. It's the same for you. So,
yeah. So valuable information and important work. And as I was saying to you before we signed on, just listeners, just so you know, we had the most incredible start of a conversation that I had to stop us and say, no, let's talk about this on the podcast. So I see so many parallels when I was learning about your work to my own work. And I imagine that I'm older than you, but you started earlier than me in your entrepreneurship. But you seem to be doing similar work in the myo space that I'm doing in the more breastfeeding, tongue-tie lactation space. But very similar in our scope of wanting to educate and being mission-based and mm-hmm. having this drive and this almost, I don't know if you feel this way, but like I almost feel like I had no choice to go in the direction I went in.
Yeah,
it's just kind of.
I do.
Right? It's like
that.
You get on the boat and you go down the river mm-hmm. kind of thing. So yeah. let me hear a little bit. How did you start this and why? Like, what brought you to this field?
Yeah, it's funny to think about this because it feels like so long ago now, but I was a pretty new dental hygiene graduate. So that's my degrees in dental hygiene originally. I graduated from Eastern Washington University in 2008. And I just always felt like as a hygienist, there was more that I wanted to do. And college and education is interesting because it's like you're always working to the next step, the next goal, the next thing, the next grade. But then once I got into being a professional dental hygienist, there's no upward mobility. And that was something that early on I was like, oh, I made it. This is it. It's my personality, like what's next? And so I considered maybe I should go to dental school. Maybe I should get an MBA. I didn't really know, but I was looking for continuing education, which I needed for, keeping up my credential. And I found this course. It was taught back in those days by Joy Moeller and Barbara Green, people you are probably familiar with.
Mm-hmm. I took Joy Moeller's course way back too.
Me too. So,
a 3-day course in New York City because I live in the New Jersey area. And
So I saw this little article in a magazine in 2010, and the course, they were coming to my city in like 2 weeks, and I had never heard of this field. I had never talk to anybody about myofunctional issues. Like literally I had never even thought of tongue ties, nothing. And so I took this course and it really blew my mind in a lot of ways. It made me very skeptical. I thought, is this a real field? This can't be. It doesn't make sense that I would never have heard of it. I'm a newer grad. And so it really confused me early on. And then what confused me even more is I was sitting in the class and one of the big things we talk about is tongue posture. You know, your tongue needs to be in the roof of your mouth, not the bottom of your mouth. And I was sitting there thinking, my tongue is not in the roof of my mouth. So if I'm hearing this correctly, I have these symptoms. And I think I had a little bit of denial, a little bit of, frustration, like kind of reflecting back to my childhood and my doctor, my pediatrician, my childhood orthodontist and dentist. And I thought, if this is really true, and I have these things and I'm a professional and I've never heard of this field, then it just piqued my curiosity. And again, a little bit of that like frustration with like, I have these things. Why did no one tell me? So that's really what I guess propelled me to explore it and try to understand it. I was really young at the time. I mean, I was in my 20s. I must have been like 23, 24. And so I think I was just naive enough that I did a lot of things that today with life experience and understanding a lot more, I probably wouldn't have done. But I decided I was going to quit my job as a hygienist. Again, not the best financial decision. I quit my job and I was going to start this business. And I did. But there were, 2 years of just like a lot of stress financially. I went into it, rose-colored glasses and just struggled to make money and pay my bills. And so those early years were tough, but I did it. I persevered. I feel like I met every dentist in Seattle, which is where I was living at the time. That's where I'm from. And, one thing led to another. Once my practice started kind of growing, I was going out to different local dental study groups. So I would meet a dentist and I'd say, oh, do you have a study group that you'd be interested? I'll come and I'll speak and I'll share this information. And so I did that, not because I wanted to be a speaker or mm-hmm. at all, but because I wanted to get patients. And so I would go speak in these study groups. I would speak for dental hygiene study groups. And my intention was to try to get referrals. And what ended up happening is I was piquing the interest of other professionals who were like, what is this field? How are you doing it? What is this thing that you're talking about? And so then they would come and ask me, can I shadow you? Can I train under you? Can I come into your practice and observe you working with patients? And that, you know, brings us to about 2014, where I was practicing seeing patients. And I had a lot of these other professionals, usually hygienists, asking me about my career path. And so I started a little study group. I called it Myo Mentor. And again, that was now coming up on 12 years ago. That little wow. study group evolved and grew into now this online training organization that I have called Myo Mentor. It's a 12-week course. And now, like you said in my bio, we've trained a little over 2,000 other professionals to do this therapy and to integrate it into their practices. So that's kind of the overarching, I guess,
big picture. It's really cool. You know what? Like, so many parallels. First of all, I graduated from midwifery school in 2008. So you were graduating from your hygienist program and I was graduating from midwifery school. I had already been a nurse for many years and, you know, just went back to school. Yeah. So 2008, timeline meeting there. And then also, you know, taking that Myo class that I just took for background because, you know, there's an overlap and there's a little bit of controversy, which I've heard of, which I don't like controversy, but it's like sometimes you have to talk about it. Like there's different, what's the word I want to say? Like different disciplines have different roles and some of them overlap and some of them should and some of them shouldn't. And people have different experiences and ideas of what their scopes of practices are and all that. But I wanted to know, my curiosity is always now that I've learned, and I'm sure you've learned, that we have to learn what other professionals learn with them, learn from them, teach them. I want to know what they learn. So that's why I took that Joy Mahler class because I was hearing all about Myo and I thought I knew what it was. I had actually done some therapy before my tongue tie release.
Yeah.
But I was like, let me learn more about this. And at that point they wanted to develop, and I don't want to make anybody's hair stand up who's listening. Myo for babies, which
I know. Yeah. There's controversy around that for sure.
And I'm like, so I was like, let me go just find out what this is so that I know and can
you can speak
have it. An opinion on it, right? Yeah. You can't stand in your lane and say that's wrong until you or right.
Exactly. Yeah. You'll start to learn about it.
So I thought that was a wonderful way to expand my practice because one of the tenets of my teaching is interdisciplinary. Like I welcome everyone into my courses and my trainings and go to lecture. Like I would love, like I was just at the myofunctional conference because I think that we need to learn from each other. Mm-hmm. We need to know each other. We need to know what each other does. We need to know when we should refer to each other. And I think learning together is the best way. Have you ever found yourself thinking, do I actually know enough about tongue tie to assess this baby, to talk to this family, to know what should happen next? If you've ever had these thoughts, our newest program, the Confident IBCLC, was created with you in mind. And it's open to anyone who works with babies and families. You don't have to be an IBCLC. This is a 1 hour live, low cost, high impact training for anyone working with babies and families who wants more clarity, stronger clinical reasoning, and more confidence around tongue tie and feeding concerns. This masterclass is here to quiet that imposter syndrome that's been whispering in your ear and to remind you that you are capable, qualified, and needed. You can sign up right now at tongueTieExperts.net. The direct link will be in the show notes.
Yeah, we have a huge varied background of professionals who take my training course. And what happened originally, I was, you know, I felt underqualified to speak to speech pathologists and physical therapists and lactation specialists. Like, you know, I was just like, I'm a dental hygienist. I can speak the dental language. And so for years, I actually never let any non-dental professional come in. And then it wasn't until around, I would say 2019, I met a friend and colleague. She's a speech pathologist out of Portland. Her name's Corinne Jarvis. Actually, she was practicing in New York, living in New York. I don't know if you're familiar with that name, but she has a pretty big speech practice. And she, I said, why don't you take my class and, you know, observe it, give me feedback, tell me what you think. And she said, I want all of my clinicians to take your course because you speak the dental language. And as speech pathologists, we don't know that. So I want them to hear you speaking about these things through your lens, not our lens. And so from that point forward, I said, okay, well, I'm still going to say this is a dental course, but if you're from a different profession, maybe it'll give you some insights into what we speak about and what we care about in the dental practice. So now we've had, I don't know, probably 50 speech pathologists. We've had a lot of now chiropractors, physical therapists. I have had some people with either IBCLC backgrounds who, like you, say, I want to understand what is this field because I have parents. I treat the babies, but I have plenty of parents who are asking about their tongue tie and their issues. And I just want to understand, like, it all starts when we're infants, but what happens when those infants who get missed grow into children, toddlers, children, teenagers, adults. And so they want us to be able to connect that full circle. So we haven't had a lot, but I have had some like you who said, can I just come in? I just want to learn what you guys are doing.
Right. Felt like I'm going to hang out a shingle.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, from my background, I could because I'm
could.
A midwife.
You're a nurse?
Like, I have medical. I'm a nurse. I'm a midwife.
Yeah, you could.
I'm doing enough. Don't talk me into it. No.
Yeah.
Because I love learning. Like if this might be year two that I'm not personally involved, you know, I'm not in a course. Like,
yes. Oh my gosh.
I just keep learning thing. Functional medicine courses, herbal medicine. Yeah. I love to learn. But so I love all the parallels that we're talking about. And I think the biggest parallel that I see and my admiration to you goes to the point of being a woman entrepreneur, starting a business, growing a business, you know, a thriving business, because that's not easy. And one of the aspects of what I like to do through my work is to empower women, especially empower all people, but especially young professional women to think outside the box and realize that there's so much they can do. You know, the world is your oyster. You can do this. It's not easy.
No.
But you can do it, right?
Yeah, I totally agree. And like I said, I was, when I first started doing this, and you probably, again, echo the same thing, it wasn't even that I set out to become a speaker, and now I'm an international speaker. You know, I've traveled.
I
come back from Switzerland, speaking there. And
you went.
Yeah,
I wanted to go so bad to Tongue Tie Congress, but my daughter-in-law was due with her baby.
Yeah, and
I didn't want to cut it too close.
It's a bigger deal.
So.
Yeah,
so next year I'm going to go.
And it was,
I heard it was
amazing.
Wonderful.
You know, it's amazing. I think back and every time I, you know, introduce myself and I go through my bio, I'm always like, a little part of me is like, how did I end up here? Like, this was not my intention to come and, I'm speaking on this topic in Switzerland, but again, it was to get patients. And then eventually people just started saying, hey, can you speak? The Washington State Dental Hygiene Association is looking for speakers. Would you be interested? And there was a whole learning curve around, you know, people would say, well, what's your honorarium? And in the early days, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I just want me to get patients. Like, if someone refers patients to me, I'm happy. And it is like a learning curve around feeling confident enough to ask for a couple hundred dollars or to say, well, can you pay for my accommodation, my flight? You know, like those in the early days, I didn't know how to navigate that. And there's no playbook on how to navigate
that. And nobody teaches us that.
Nobody teaches you.
Right.
And it's not like I can go ask my my colleague, Dr. Zaghi, who is, you know, well-known, big name, and he can probably ask for a lot of different things that maybe I couldn't, you know? So it's different. It's a very unique situation. And again, sometimes I still don't know how to fully navigate it, but the same thing applies to, you know, in the early, early days, I don't think people, maybe young people today, realize how different social media was just 10 years ago. And one of the things that helped me kind of get my name out there was I started making YouTube videos. And they're so, I watched them, they're so like embarrassing to watch now because, you know, we always kind of cringe at ourselves on video. But, and these are like 10 years old now. But I started making them, maybe even older actually. And I was doing it again to get patients. I was putting out information on YouTube to try to get patients to come to my practice. And again, professionals started seeing those and sharing them with their patients. And then it's kind of been this evolution of, it set out to be an influencer, and I definitely never wanted to be an influencer. I honestly would prefer not to be on camera, but I'm okay getting the information out to, you know, get patients in return. And so that lasted a really long time. But now there's so much, I mean, Instagram and TikTok and things that I don't even know how to do. And so people joke like, oh, you are like the original, like Mayo influencer. I'm like, yeah, I'm not trying to be that anymore. But you know, you have to look on.
You can't, I mean, it's like things evolve.
Things evolve so much. Yeah.
Yeah. And your own abilities and what you think you want evolves. Like, you know, I used to be so shy. I was a bedside nurse when I started realizing there was a need for lactation, more lactation support and education. And we're talking early 90s, right? Like, like I said, I'm older. I'm much older. And I had to put myself out there. And those who listen to my podcast have heard my full story. I won't go into it. But I had to put myself into an uncomfortable position to get what I wanted to get done in the hospital. All of a sudden, I was writing grants.
Yeah.
And I was doing presentations for the New York Hospital Association in a boardroom. And I'm like, who am I?
I know.
You know, where did this come from? But as it evolved, even the podcast, I would have never, ever, ever believed you if you told me 20 years ago that I would have a podcast where I was speaking and people were actually listening to me.
Yeah,
I would never. And we just hit 4 years.
That's right. Amazing.
So you do what you want, you know, and now it's just having a conversation with fun people who do really interesting things and help people and keeping it focused on the mission.
Yeah.
And I think that optimizing health for everyone is both of our missions, right? And for me, it starts in the very early days. And for you, it continues to old age. So it's a continuum. And I think it's beautiful.
For sure. Just to go back to what you said about pushing out of your comfort zone. I mean, that and I joked earlier saying there's things I did in my 20s I would never do today. Like now I'm 41. Like I'm not, I am not trying to, you know, push myself out of my comfort zone like I did back then. But I guess I had it in me. I don't know. And I guess I was kind of, sometimes when your back's against the wall, like financially, right? Like I needed to do some things that were uncomfortable for me and I did not love it, you know, going in and it's really hard to basically cold call, going door knocking and walking into a dental office and saying, hi, my name's Sarah. And I do something called myofunctional therapy. I'd love to drop off some information for your doctor. And if they want to, you know, meet with me and learn more about it, please tell them to reach out. And that was horrifying for me in those days, but I did it and I pushed through. And I think that's an important information for younger women and younger people to hear is it's not easy. It's easy for us now sitting here later in our careers, being able to say, oh yeah, I did all these things. Mm-hmm. But there were a lot of, people don't see the years of struggle and challenge. And there were times that I remember sitting in my office, like the best advice I got was on your to-do list, what's the hardest thing that you want to do the least? Okay, do that first.
That's good advice.
I just remember thinking, okay, what's the hardest thing? I do not want to make these 10 calls following up with doctors about referrals. Right. I don't want to do it, but I'm just going to pick up the phone and do it. And so do the hardest thing that you want to do least, do that first. And,
then it gets easier.
That will really help push through those uncomfortable like zones that we all are in.
Right. The other thing is that sometimes we're doing things in our training or in our early careers that we think is a waste of time. Mm-hmm. But then you look back and you say, oh, that trained me for this.
Yeah.
You know,
that's so true.
That kind of thing. So there's a few things that I was like, why would I have to take this course? Or why would I have to do this? So, you know, that kind of thing that now I know that in accumulation, it has helped me be who I am today. Mm-hmm. Even some life experiences,
yeah,
you know, that you're
for sure.
Yeah. And we'd all do things differently than we did in our 20s.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
For sure.
But, so what is the most exciting, what is the favorite thing for you? So like if you wake up in a day and you know you have a bunch of tests to do and you're going to do the ones you don't want to do first, what's the part of your life now that's the most fun part for you?
Gosh, that's a really good question. So I had kind of like a life-changing situation about 4 years ago. I got married, and the man that I married, who's the love of my life, and I'm really happy that, I mean, just my life has changed so much since 2021. He came with 2 kids.
And oh, wow.
I've become a stepmom, and I have had my whole world changed by becoming a parent. So I always thought I was just going to be this world traveling entrepreneur on my own. Like, it's not that I didn't want a family. It's just, I didn't really see it on my trajectory. And so I think now the most fun that I have is actually, I've been filming videos with the kids. They're a little older now. When I met them, they were 3 and 7. Today they're 8 and 11. And we've been filming videos to put on my course platform, working and doing exercises with kids. And so we've been doing not just myo exercises, but like nasal hygiene exercises and going through it with the kids. I mean, it is a whole life-changing experience to go from, oh, I work with patients, to these are my own family members, my own, you know, stepchildren.
Right.
And so that's been a different kind of pivot for me is, now my husband and my 2 stepkids have myofunctional issues, and now I'm trying to work with them, and it's much more personal. It's very different. Family dynamic is very different because we see them 1 week and then they're with their mom and their stepdad 1 week. And so there's so much learning that's come with that. And I think because it's newer, it's exciting for me and it's very personal. So, we kind of joke though, it's challenge. I mean, there's challenges with having a family situation with 4 parents, basically. I joke that we just have too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah. And, I could imagine that would be challenging, under the best of circumstances.
Like, yeah.
I mean, right. Even if all 4 cooks are wonderful, no, this one said I could do this.
Exactly.
And that one says I can do that. And
And the tough thing for me, navigating as a professional and as a parent is, also like the kid's mom is a nurse. She has no training and no background in any of this stuff. And so, I mean, you can probably understand that, you know, plenty of nurses and, you know, their backgrounds are all varied. And, both of the kids are very tongue tied and she's like, no, that's not a thing. We're not releasing
that. Wow.
So yeah,
that must be tough.
I mean, like talk about taking professional, making it very personal.
Yes. Yes. And you know what? I've been, chatting a lot with other, you know, I'm a grandma now.
Yeah.
And I just had my granddaughter was born this week. And I spend 24 hours just being grandma and not looking under the tongue. And my other daughter kept saying to me, have you looked yet? Have you looked yet?
Like, I'm trying.
She's starting to have pain. And I was like, I'm not looking yet. So yesterday I examined him. Of course, yes, there's a tie and she's very tight and she needs some, probably some osteo work or some cranial sacral therapy. And there's that balance of being their family member and being the professional. And also it's, to me, a super lesson in understanding how difficult it is for families and parents.
Exactly. It's a whole different,
you know, and that's just taking care of my daughter through her mm-hmm. two kids and their issues has given me a different perspective of mom-centered care, you know, like, and one of my programs actually is What About Mom? Because we don't always realize, you know, we look at the baby's mouth, especially when you're talking to dentists, right?
Yes.
I've taught a lot with American Laser Study Club.
Yes.
And I love speaking to the dentists who are going to get the laser because I want them to realize that this isn't just about getting this frenum lasered. this frenum belongs to a baby who belongs to a family who's attached to their mom and looking at them at the maternal side of it.
Yeah.
So we definitely all learn from our families.
You learn from your family so much. And so
you just had a crash course because they were dropped in your lap instead of you.
Yeah. And just that dynamic, you know, I used to talk about, you know, oh yeah, there's two families, mom and dad, and you know,
two
separate households. And you know, from a very outsider perspective, I could say, yes, you know, you might not be able to get optimum. Like maybe they only do their exercises at their mom's house or maybe only at their dad's house. And, you know, one parent might be more invested in the process than the other. And now I'm actually living it. So it's
That's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, it is different. But it actually is. I mean, I like you asked me, what is my favorite part? My favorite part is now doing the things that I get to do as part of a family, having a family that I honestly never, ever, ever thought that anything was missing from my life. But now I'm like, I can't imagine my life without my family as it is today.
That's
like
sweet.
I look
that's
back,
sweet.
You know, 6 years ago, I'm like, what was I doing with all my time? This is like such a different life. I don't know what I was doing back then.
So, it's so funny. Yeah, it's very similar to, you know, the new mom that my daughter-in-law and, you know, like last week we were trying to tell them, like, get your sleep, do what you can, you know, this is it. You're not going to be just the two of you anymore, you know.
Yeah.
But it's lovely. It's all lovely. So your course is also just online,
which is
cool.
Yeah.
And that's great.
And my practice, actually, I transitioned in 2014. That was kind of a big year for me looking back because that's when I started doing my, my training study group at the time. Mm-hmm. And that's also when I made the decision that I wanted to take my practice. I had a main location in West Seattle. I had a secondary location in a town outside of that called Redmond. I would go there once a week. So I was kind of going between these two practices and living in Seattle, which was a very tech forward, tech interested city. People were saying to me constantly, can I meet with you over FaceTime? Can I meet with you on Skype at the time? Mm-hmm. And I was very skeptical and I didn't really want to go into the online world, but I thought, you know, I would like to travel. I would like to be able to work remotely. Like that sounds really interesting to me. So maybe I should look into how that actually works. And I had the opportunity to go to Australia and work with Dr. Derek Mahoney in 2013. And so it's a whole long story, but he wanted me to come there and like help run his practice. And it wasn't a good career fit because I was just, you know, my myofunctional therapy practice was starting to flourish and do well. But for about 3 months, I had to see patients online and I had to juggle it between working in different time zones and working in his practice. And I'm still friends with him to this day, financial wise, it didn't work out. I wanted to do my own thing. And if I stayed there and, you know, had this life living in Australia, which sounded amazing, and he was like, yeah, I guess there's certain work visas. If you're under 30, you can bring Americans and they can work and they can get citizenship and all that. And it sounded very tempting, like, oh, I want to become a citizen of Australia and live in Australia. It's so amazing. But I was going to have to give up my practice and the therapy I was doing. And I remember after, you know, the third month, which was kind of the trial period, having to say to him, like, I think I have to build my own. Like I thought in my mind, like I can build his practice or I can build my own career and practice. Mm-hmm. And I had to choose, you know, my own doing it for myself. Right. That experience where I was forced to see people online and I did not want to and I did not enjoy it, did kind of open up my mind to bringing therapy online.
And then once and how you could optimize that, right?
Yeah. But back then, it was not like today. Back then, the internet speeds were very slow and variable, and technology, people didn't understand technology the way that they do today. And patients were skeptical of it. And doctors were my referring doctors. Some actually stopped referring to me when I started seeing patients online. So
we were really afraid of privacy issues, right?
Yeah, there was a lot of issues. Yeah. And just does it actually work was the main thing. Like, how, you know, people hadn't had that post-pandemic experience of like being forced to do everything online and realizing, okay, there's pros and cons to this. I mean, it's different, but there's a lot of positives that you can get from doing it online. So I then decided, well, I got my practice online. I'm going to build this course out and do it online. And it was not easy because we didn't have the platforms we used.
Yeah, today. I was like, just going to say the tools weren't
the
there.
Tools weren't there. And so I was using Dropbox folders for my slides. Uh-huh. I was using free conference call. We were doing it remotely, like over the phone. It's so funny to think back, like Zoom, people didn't know what Zoom was. You know, a lot of the early stuff was done on Skype, even though that's really not like HIPAA compliant and like,
but that's what there was.
And I used to have patients sign forms that said, I understand that Skype isn't HIPAA compliant and I'm okay with that.
Yeah. So even like my first iteration of my pro course was in 2021 and the technology and how easy it was to make it my update in 2024. It was incredibly easier.
So much easier.
Yeah. I was setting up cameras and lighting and like now everything fixes everything for you.
I know.
It's just so different.
Easier.
So different.
Yeah. And also patients, you know, like I said, patients were skeptical. I built my practice out offering free assessments. And so I would meet with patients for free for 30 minutes, which is a long time.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was so that they didn't feel like I was like a fake person or a scam.
Right.
You know? So I would meet with them and they'd be hesitant, skeptical, like, are you sure this is a real thing? And then once they got to know me and they had that trust, then I could start talking about their symptoms and what I see. Then I would guide them into doing a more comprehensive, in-depth exam where they paid for it and they had to send photos and it was just much more comprehensive. So, but the 30-minute free assessments were how I got patients because people will do things for free, nothing to lose. And then once they met me and they saw how it worked, then they weren't so skeptical. And then, you know, things grew from there. So,
Yeah. So I've done the way I built my practice in the beginning when I left the hospital and I just had a lactation practice, I was involved in social media groups where Facebook used to be different than it is now.
Yeah, that's true.
We ran a peer support group locally and I was the only lactation consultant in the group, but it was peer support. But I was kind of like making sure that the people who weren't, you know, fully trained were giving the right information or mothers were telling each other things based on their experience. But I didn't want any false information getting passed around. So I was kind of like the mother hen of the group, you know. And when I got my own practice, people started coming to me and then spreading the word, recommendations. And I'm sure that's how you built your practice too, once you have one. And then I'd love to say it was the pediatricians, but not exactly.
Yeah, I'd love to say
but the dentists, you know, the dentists in my area, I became friends with dentists. I had never known the scope of dentists or how it could relate to airway. And I met a wonderful dentist. I don't know if you know Dr. Victor Avis. He's doing the Airway Revolution Project. If you don't know of him, I'm going to send you information.
I'd love to meet him. Yeah.
Yeah. And airwayrevolution.org is his website. And he just happened to be a local dentist that a myofunctional therapy friend of mine said, you don't know Dr. Avis? You should meet him. And he had study groups in his office.
Oh, wow.
And I went and learned about orthodontic expansion and all the things. And yeah, I guess that was probably maybe 2018, maybe, maybe a little before that.
Yeah.
Sure. And it just was like a snowball effect.
And the information has changed. I think the access, patients' access to information has changed. It's amazing what, like, if you Google tongue tie, if you Google or search Instagram or search anything, YouTube for tongue tie or myofunctional therapy, it is just now the information is out there. But, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it was hard to find information. And I think that also is just kind of, you know, luck and coincidence of me being one of the first people to put a lot of myo content on social media. And I remember having a blog, which no one has anymore, but I would have a blog where I wrote articles about myofunctional therapy. And a lot of the ways that I got patients, once I shifted to an online practice, most of my patients came from me directly. I wish I could say it was the dentist, like you wish you could say it was a pediatrician, but the dentist really stopped referring to me. And the majority of my practice was built by patients finding me. So I knew they wanted the information. I knew that there were patients looking for this. And then once doctors started to see that, oh, this maybe is a legitimate way, then they started referring. But there was a few years where all my doctor referrals went away and things shifted to patients reaching out directly. And so I think that was a scary, you know, kind of in between phase as well, where,
and then, you know, one of the benefits to online practice is not only can you travel, but you can see people from all over. Like that's my benefit now because over a year ago, I moved from Staten Island, New York to New Jersey. I'm only about 20 minutes away from where I lived, but I'm in a different state and I don't have my office, my physical office anymore.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So I can see people virtually. And when people say, do you see patients? I'm like, yeah, we could do that. You know, it doesn't matter where I am. I can see you.
Exactly.
And I've gotten quite adept at that virtual lactation consult, which can be a challenge, but with, you know, with the right setup and the right information and the right intake forms and everything, it works, you know? You know, what I'd like to close with, Sarah, because I feel like I've taken a lot of your time, is that when you were talking about that opportunity to either stay with that exciting practice in Australia and live an exciting, different kind of life, but you realized that you had something in you that you wanted to build your own.
Yeah.
And that is brave, right? So I want to highlight that and congratulate you on that and inspire other people to follow their hearts. You know, it's not always the quick fix that's going to get you to where you have to be. And sometimes you make wrong decisions and you make a U-turn. That's okay. But that takes a little bit of heart and bravery. And thank you for sharing that story with us.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know that I don't share that story very often, so I don't know how it came out, but here we are.
Oh, I get things out of people. So where can people find you if somebody wants to take your course? It's MyoMentor.
Yes, MyoMentor.com.
And what's the website?
Okay. Yep, just myomentor.com.
And I'll put that in the show notes with, you know, with your information. So thank you so much for spending this time with us today.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. You can find me on social media too. You can look up my name, Sarah K. Hornsby. You can look up MyoMentor. I'd be happy to help anybody who has questions or wants to learn more about this field of myofunctional therapy as a career path. So thank you, Lisa, for having me on here so that I can share a little bit more about my journey and this field. And it's been fun to hear your stories too. So thank you.
Thank you.
This podcast is meant for education and conversation only. It is not medical advice and does not replace formal education, professional training, or individualized care from a qualified healthcare provider. Always seek appropriate guidance for individual concerns. The views and opinions shared by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the host or tongue tie experts. Many professionals were never taught how to fully assess tongue tie, and families are often left trying to reach their breastfeeding goals without the support they actually need. If feeding feels harder than it should, I don't want you to be alone. I wrote Tongue Tie for Parents
to help you understand what's happening and how to move forward with a clear, thoughtful approach. It's the same guidance I would give you if you were sitting with me in my office. It takes a holistic, functional view, guiding you through what to look for, how to think about next steps, and what actually helps. Available now on Amazon. Link is in the show notes.